Free play is also really important for the development of critical thinking. There's someone I want to interview for Resistance Radio soon. Actually, two people. They wrote a book called The Coddling of the American Mind. And one of the things they wanted to ask is, how have we come to a pass such that college students and lefty college students have become so aggressive at deplatforming, and schools have become places where, instead of encouraging a wide variety of thought, they set up safe rooms with videos of puppies and kitties for traumatized students to go to if they're too scared of one of the speakers on campus. How did this happen? And one of their answers, I love much of what goes on in the book, and one of their answers that I especially find interesting is they talk about the transition from what they call free play to more structured learning, such that back when I was a kid, it was routine for my mom to just send me out after breakfast and maybe expect me to see back for lunch and certainly come back by dinner. And all the neighborhood kids were the same way, and we would spend all day playing football, building forts, building tree forts, you know, getting into who knows what sort of mischief, almost entirely unsupervised. And, you know, the parents would still be, they'd be looking out to make sure that there are some children. But if we disappeared for a while, I mean, you couldn't see from our house over to the Hofgaard's pasture. So I'm guessing, because I wasn't one of the parents, that if you look out and you don't see the kids for a while, then you call one of the neighbors and they say, yeah, they're out in my backyard, everything's fine. But for the most part, we were just out. And we had certain limits. I remember one time me and Jeff decided that we were going to walk to a pond that was about 4 or 5 miles away, and without telling anybody. And that was the only time I ever saw Jeff get swatted by his mom when we got back. And she didn't like spank him, but she just swatted him once on the behind. And we all understood that at 7 years old, you're not supposed to go 5 miles to. So there were limits. But the point is, it was almost exclusively self. On a small scale, it was self-monitored. And they're contrasting that with today. A lot of, you know, the parents will still be spending time with the children, but they're taking them to soccer practice, they're taking them to dance lessons, they're taking them to violin lessons, they're taking them to swimming, and it's all much more structured. And there's a couple things that they're saying are going on at that age that are necessarily development, that are necessary to human development, that we're missing if it's structured. And one of them is the ability to self-regulate. So there are a couple of things that are lost going from that free play to a more structured, always overseen type of play. And one of the things that's lost is the ability to self-regulate and to self-regulate one's conflicts and to learn how to deal with uncomfortable situations in a way that does not require appealing to authority. I remember when I was a kid, and remember I was the fourth child, so by now, you know, rules have been very much relaxed, but I remember one time playing out in the backyard and getting in a fight with one of my little friends, and I ran into my mom and said, David's treating me mean, and she said, yeah, go back out there. I don't care. And her rule was, if you're going to resolve a conflict, there are two things you cannot do. One is you cannot bite, and the other is you can't hit them with anything. Beyond that, I don't want to hear about it. And which means fists were perfectly fine. And rarely came to that. But that's the point, is it rarely comes to that. And a great example is I had a friend, Jeff, 2 years older than I was, my best friend when I was a kid. And he had a little brother, Kurt, who was a couple years younger than I was. And me and the neighborhood kids, we would often play football and just out in somebody's backyard. And one day, Kurt was playing. He didn't usually. So I'm 8, Kurt's 6, Jeff's 10. And Kurt's on the other team, and I really want the football. So I tackle Kurt pretty hard. You know, normally he's 6, so we, like, play pretty gently. But I really want the ball. So I knock him down, force a fumble. I grab the fumble, and I'm very happy. The next time I touch the ball after that, Jeff creams me. And as I'm getting up, he said, "How did it feel?" That's it. We didn't have to appeal to parents. It's just, and I remember this 50 years later. And that was a life lesson that I have learned and I have kept in my life, that you don't pick on younger people, even if you really want the football. And we got that not through parents. And that's one thing that happens. And the other thing that happens in free play is that, and you see how this applies to college students today, if they have not gone through that, they don't know how to negotiate those uncomfortable feelings among themselves. They have to appeal to an authority. They have to go find themselves a safe space. As opposed to, in this case, we just kept playing, after Jeff creamed me, we just kept playing the football game. And we all, by the end of the day, I'm probably the only one who remembered, and that's because I learned a lesson. And then the other thing you learn with all this free play, children, okay, so there have been bears, generations of baby bears outside this window, and some baby bears are very timid, and some baby bears are very aggressive and very are less timid. And I have seen baby bears crawl up into the tops of the trees, climb out to the edge of the limb, and get stuck. I've seen baby bears crawling on the roof. And okay, or to take this not to a baby bear, but a young human being. When I was about 8, I had watched a movie where somebody jumped off a building and then they rolled and landed, and this seemed really cool. So I jumped off our deck, and I remember as I was heading toward the ground thinking, this is faster than it looks on television. And then I hit the ground and I remember thinking, this is a lot harder than it looks on television. And I didn't hurt myself, but kids do stupid things. And this is true across species. What you're doing is you're learning how to deal with terror. And you're learning how to jump off a building in case a predator is ever changing you and you need to jump off a building. You will have some experience at it. And I remember when I was a kid, we had this big tree fort about 60 feet up a cottonwood that was built by 8-year-olds. I have since then seen 8-year-olds pound boards together. I would not trust, let's just say that the workmanship on it has not been stellar. And we had this 60-foot, so what we did is we pounded in strips into the bark that would act as ladder, and then we got up, and then we would have planks going from one limb over to another, and you could walk all around that, and then we had plywood attached. Presumably half the nails that went through actually did hit a limb, and I don't know how any of us survived. But we spent a good portion of our time. And then you get up there. And once you're up there, of course, you have brought things like rotten apples to throw at each other up in this place. Or one of the people in the neighborhood had a trampoline. So oftentimes all the children in the neighborhood, when we're, you know, we get done playing football and we would go over to the place where they had the trampoline. And then we play something called follow the leader, which is where whatever somebody in front of you does, you have to do, which is great training for the rest of your life, I suppose. And one of the jumps that people would do routinely was called the suicide, which is where you jump up as high as you can, flip around, and then you turn your head back so you're staring at the mat as it comes closer to you, and at the last second you duck your head and land right here. Which, of course, if your timing is late, you could be paralyzed for the rest of your life. I am not suggesting these are necessarily good things, but what I'm suggesting is this is another thing that, this is the point of free play, is to have you, why do you think children climb trees? One of the reasons is to become agile, one of the reasons is because we evolved with it, and one of the reasons is because sometimes you get way up in a tree and tree limbs start to break on you and it's terrifying and you don't die. And the point is that, one of the points they're making is that this is one of the things you're supposed to learn as a child, is that it is okay to feel terror. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about, I mean, every child has these stories. I remember going, I mean, as a child, if you see a boulder or if you see a cliff face, I don't know about you, but if I saw one, I climbed it. And or buildings, people climb buildings. So you start climbing. Or in the house where I grew up, we had a stairway that had all sorts of rocks on one side and just, you know, textured rocks. So for probably 6 years, I never went up the stairs. I would climb up the rocks instead every time. This is what kids do. And if there's a surface, you climb it. And if you have done this enough times, there will be times where your feet go out from under you. You're hanging by your fingernails or by your fingers. I remember this once on a cliff. I was climbing the sandstone cliff, climbing up and up and up. My feet go out from under me, and I'm holding on by eight fingers at first, and then my pinkies go, and then it was just like in a movie. And then the next fingers goes, I'm holding on by four fingers, and then I start going down. And I remember I was able to get my back to the wall. It was sandstone. It wasn't like a cliff. It was very, very steep, though. And I eventually got out, and I ended up, the sandstone rubbed through my pants, rubbed through my underwear, and rubbed into my butt. And so I ended up, I'm what, 12 years old at that point? So, I mean, this just ends up being a fun story for a 12-year-old. This is not, and that's the point, is that, for those 30 seconds, for those 10 seconds, I was completely terrified. And I lived. And if you don't have that free play, you don't have the opportunity to A, gain the social skills, B, gain the self-responsibility, and C, gain the ability to become completely terrified. And, I mean, again, think about this. What do kids do all the time? And one of the funnest things ever, I mentioned this in a previous note, about they put in a subdivision next to where I lived, which was a disaster. But for one summer, I had a hell of a playground because I spent all my time going into these houses they're building, jumping down, you know, jumping from the top floor to the bottom floor, pretending I'm a paratrooper. And this is an absolute effect of this is to teach people emotional regulation. And I really want to interview them, and I think that's a tremendous point. Free play is also really important for the development of critical thinking. I so far have mentioned emotional regulation and social skills, but critical thought as well, because so often I would be sent out for the day to deal with things. And this would include, it's like, okay, Derek, you need to go out and you need to play, but also the horses and cows need to be fed and watered, and at some point you need to water the garden, and you need to also do an hour's worth of weeding at some point. So immediately also I was given time management. I was given the choice of how to do this. It wasn't like you're going to do the weeding right now. She didn't care as long as the work got done. So immediately I was given the responsibility of being able to manage my own time. And when, because I was a child, I didn't, you know, I would get stuck playing basketball instead of, my mom could still remind me. But there's a larger question here too, because I would often be outside and there would be some problem might develop. And so me and Jeff are going to try to make a hay fort, but we're running into a certain problem. And I mean, people who have seen these know how wonderful my mom was at so many things, including helping to develop critical thinking in me. But so I mean this in the best possible sense, that I would come in and say, so we're having this problem figuring out what to do with how to make the hay fort better. And she would say, why are you asking me? I'm not making a hay fort. You're making a hay fort. So you go figure out how to do it. And do it nicely. I mean, she didn't snarl at me for it. But the point is that's another way, another thing that was absolutely developed, is we were on our own. We couldn't rely on adults to tell us. Here's a great example of the critical thinking, that we built a fort, and the fort consisted of digging a hole and then scrounging plywood, etc., to cover the hole. Okay, there's the fort. Then we have this another great idea, which is we're going to build another fort over here. And so we dug another hole and we put plywood over that, because it's nice to have two forts where you can put people in one fort and then people in the other fort, and then you can like throw rocks at each other. And or whatever. So that's all fine. And we had the critical thinking to be able to put them at the right distance apart, to be able to make to improve on our design for the second fort. And then we had this great idea too, which is now we're going to dig a tunnel in between the two. And this is a combination of a lot of these lessons, because on one hand, we were able to engineer and design a fairly good tunnel. On the other hand, we did not have the critical thinking ability to see that it is a terrible idea for 8-year-olds to dig a tunnel which could collapse at any moment and kill them. And at that point, a parent did in fact step in and prohibit the tunnel notion. So my point is that there were parents there as a safety net, oftentimes a literal safety net. But other than that, they kept their nose out of our business. And as long as you don't kill yourself, or in my mom's additions, as long as you don't bite each other or hit each other with objects, then deal with it. So yes, I think it was absolutely crucial. And I think this is true. You see this with non-humans all the time, that you see bears, baby bears, learning how to have conflict. They learn how to scramble up trees. They learn how to do all sorts of things by their own. You see those puppies. This is just what kids are supposed to do. They're supposed to be on their own with loose supervision to make sure that they don't do what children are so want to do, which is to kill themselves through, let's be kind and say, exuberance. This isn't even kind. They will kill themselves through exuberance because they think it's a great idea to climb up on the roof and jump off. You know, it's just as with trees bending in the wind, that actually strengthens them. Those sort of small breaks that then get reinforced stronger. And it's the same with so many things. You put a little bit of stress on your bones, that can increase the strength of the bones. And the same is true emotionally, and that's how we learn. As children, you'll see this all the time, that the child will, a very, very young toddler will cling to the parent and then will take three steps out and then look back and then rush back to the parent. And it learned that that's safe. So now it can take four steps out, and then it can take 10 steps out, and then it can go around a corner just for a second and then rush back. And that feeling of terror, that feeling of separation, that feeling of nervousness, whatever it is that causes the toddler to run back, that's strengthening them. That's that we don't need for, I mean, sure, if you want your child to have a better resume going into college, then it's great if they did violin and all these organized tasks. But there is something else to be gained through self-exploration into areas that are a tiny bit scary, into, hey, I can hang off the roof with one hand as long as it's not a high rise. If this is a one-story house, this is, again, how I spent my childhood. This is why children constantly, around the world, play games like, what was ours? Truth, Dare, Double Dare, Promise, or Repeat, where I double dare you to jump into the irrigation ditch fully clothed. And I mean, that's the point, is that you are being stressed in little ways where there is no parent to make it okay, but ultimately you know that the parent is around to make it okay if things go really, really bad. We need that small breakage and small fixing and small breakage and small fixing in order to be strong.